This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This hour is brought to you by Yuengling Traditional Lager, oldest brewery in America.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheemi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
That's exactly what we do with Tim Jenkins. We do jump into the film. He is at T Jenkins Elite on Twitter. He is the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. And he joins us now via The Score, the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He's also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Tim, always great of you to join us. And we've been debating it. What we saw out of Caleb Williams this week, after watching the tape, what did you see?
Yeah, I got to talk about these commercials, though, before I come on. I don't know if it's Ray that picks these or you guys, because first, he hits me with the vasectomy clinic when I've got my fifth kid on the way. And then he hits me with the Yuengling, which you guys know is the way I get through some of these Bears games. So I'm like, I'm not sure who's picking them, but it's a great job. So,
congratulations on baby number 5. And yes, yeah. Yuengling is a proud sponsor of 670 The Score.
Yuengling. I mean, and they're great with some of these misses that we've had in some of the boot games. So, listen, I think it's hard for me because you got to kind of peel back. If you peel back the emotion of winning and losing, I don't think Caleb's performance is really that different from some of the, you know, maybe the last 3 weeks that I've come on here where we've said, hey, Caleb's not playing, you know, it's not like he's playing outstanding football. He's not playing super poorly. He's just kind of, hey, we've got some good, we've got some bad, but everywhere else is stepping up, right? And then that's how we were winning some football games. Then all of a sudden, you kind of see how this game slips away from us. To me, we were moving the ball, I thought, extremely well between the 20s. Like, if you really peel back the tape and you look between the 20s, man, we were moving the football. We had just some absolute terrible stall outs in the red zone where there's guys open. We just have missed blocks in the run game. It really hurts us. And then, of course, I think that backed up interception was one of those where it's like, man, that just like puts our defense in such a bad spot. And then you start feeling like the game's slipping away. So I think there were obviously some huge mental errors in terms of, I think, the slide before half, like you hate to see. I think that backed up interception. You know, there's a lot of talk right now on Twitter about, hey, pure progressions. And does that then lead you to throwing interceptions? I think it's hard to blame, you know, a progression on that one, right? Like the guy's undercutting it, the ball's behind, it's a bad throw and probably a bad decision. We got to work to our back there. And I think, you know, the progression would lead you to the back. And then there's just some, there's some kind of where it's like I had a no grade because we didn't have a hot answer. There was just a lot of compounding errors when you turn on the film. And then it led to us, you know, getting beat by a team that was struggling and didn't have their quarterback.
Well, that's a big part of it for us, Tim. So when you talk about progression, if you can dumb it down for us, explain why that's even a question, and then what that would mean as far as you leading to that conclusion on the interception.
Yeah, so that if you think of it broadly, there's really two different ways you read an NFL play. So there's pure progression, which means, let's just take that exact play, for example. It's play action. We have DJ Moore on what we would call a shot post, like a super deep post. He's number one. You have Rome on the dig. He's number two. And then you have your back in the flat. He's number three. And that doesn't matter, right? If they run quarters, they run single high man, whatever it is, that's your progression. It's 1 to 2 to 3. A lot of times you build those into plays that one are like a, maybe a whole field progression where it's like you're, you know, you're reading across the whole field, or you put them into plays where it's like, hey, sure, maybe they show quarters, but we're running play action, so we're not really sure how the coverage is going to hold, like from an integrity standpoint. So we need to make sure our eyes don't pass up what would be a broken coverage, or, you know, hey, a guy running open because we stretched them vertically. So there's the pure progressions where it's 1, 2, 3, no matter what. Then there's what we call PSL, so pre and post snap look. So, you know, you might have smash to one side and, hey, we like this against two high, right? Two shell. We want to read the smash side. And then, hey, maybe we have, you know, drive or something backside where you go, oh, hey, or you have really probably you'd pair it with Haas, right? Hit a seam with a hitch. And then you say, oh, hey, against single high, we want to look at that seam and then down to the hitch because we feel like we can stress that corner and make him midpoint. So then the quarterback gets up there, you know, Y20 said hut. If they stay in too high, you read smash. If they roll the single high, he reads the Haas side. So that's the two ways you read it, which is really reading defenders or just looking at your guys. I think every great NFL offense has both elements to it. The Bears have both elements to it. And then I just think, like, if we're being honest about the interception play, we actually hit it earlier in the game. It was wide open. We go back to it. We reload it. The corner undercuts it. I think Rome's kind of, I don't think Rome is as sharp as he should be. I also don't think Caleb should be getting to that throw, honestly. I think he should be getting to his back because he gets off the post, gets to the dig. He's too late on the dig. He needs to just get to the back. And then unfortunately, it's like, that's one of those mistakes that if you make, you know, if you make it your own 40, not as, you know, I don't want to say it's always a big deal if you throw an interception, but it's not as big. But hey, we made that coming out of our own end zone. You give them a short field, they score. At that point, it's kind of, you're all of a sudden in super catch-up mode.
Tim Jenkins joining us, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite here on Raheem Harris and Grody. Tim, I'm looking at Ben Johnson, and he's been very much accountable in a lot of ways in what he's saying. He's not doing enough. What are you seeing from the Ben Johnson play calling slash scheme where maybe he can help Caleb and this offense out, specifically in the red zone?
Yeah, I mean, the first, there's a clip early on in the red zone where Caleb, the back is open, but there's nothing really that would tell me from a progression standpoint that I'm supposed to be getting to the back super quick. And then everybody else is just blanketed, right? Caleb starts to scramble. He gets tackled from behind. That one was one of those concepts where it just didn't seem, you know, it's a rarity, honestly, when you have Ben Johnson, you get in the red zone and you like can't really see, oh, hey, this guy's open in the progression, right? It's like, that was a rare one that, you know, he probably wants back from a call perspective. And then the one that really threw me for a loop was, I want to say we got called for intentional grounding on it, but they're in cover zero. They bring zero, right? And you know, that there's a big difference between cover one and cover zero. Being cover one, there's one safety back man across the board, so we can actually protect it, right? We have a guy for every guy. When a team goes cover zero, there's nobody deep. It's man across the board. And because obviously we have a quarterback, we can't block everybody. Even if our back stays in, our tight end stays in, we can't block everybody because they'll just add. So that play, we have a cover zero look coming at us. And at the point that the free runner is at Caleb Williams, there's not a single receiver with his eyes back to Caleb. Caleb ends up throwing it towards Rome. I think they call us for intentional grounding. That to me is a huge issue. From it's either one, hey, somebody busted, they're supposed to have a hot route and somebody busted, or two, we didn't have a hot route built into that play. And you think to yourself, you're on that edge of field goal range. That's when people tend to heat you up because they want to knock you out of field goal range. If we called in a play that doesn't have a hot at the edge of field goal range, that's a major issue. Like everybody else sitting at home, like I don't really believe that Ben probably, you know, called in a play that doesn't have a hot at that point in the field. So I'd be willing to bet we had a bust somewhere on the receivers. I mean, if Caleb's throwing it out towards Rome, you would tend to think, hey, maybe it was Rome who was supposed to adjust hot, and that's why his eyes were there. But that was the other one that I'd say was kind of a major concern. Everything else, I thought we were dressing stuff up. We were building stuff. I don't know if you guys remember that long screen to DeAndre Swift, but that was a can-can. So Caleb checked us into that play. It was an absolute perfect look for the way the Ravens, they were doing what's called blitz peel, where their guys off the edge blitz the quarterback unless the back releases to their side, and then they peel off. So what the Bears actually did against the blitz peel is they put Swift on the right side, had him work all the way to the left, while the guy on the left thinks the guy's coming over to protect when really it's coming over for screen. So the blitz peel rules are off. It was just like from a football nerd perspective, it was pretty awesome. So that one was, I think, exciting, and the fact that Caleb can do it. So I do think there was a lot of positive on the tape. Simultaneously, the two glaring errors were some of those red zone concepts where there's not really anybody open, and then obviously the one that didn't have a hot answer.
Yeah. So, okay. And Tim, this falls in line with some of the other people that we know that are watching the tape, and I appreciate the breakdown. It's so good. 24 games Caleb Williams has played. You have seen every game up close and personal in terms of watching the tape, the highs and the lows of it, the good and the bad. Is Caleb Williams, do you think, from watching all of his games, is he where he should be in terms of his development?
Such a great question. And I think, so if we're going to be honest and we're going to say, hey, 24 games in, the answer is no. What I would tell you, though, is if you were to tell me he's, you know, eight games in, seven, whatever it is, I think eight with the bye or no bye, but you've got eight with Ben Johnson, I say yes, right? That's the thing that's really hard about this is we wasted his, and I hate saying it like this, but we wasted his rookie year,
you
right?
Did.
You had him basically with an offensive coordinator who doesn't script.
100.
You know, I don't know if you guys have heard, but I'm pretty fired up over here. Our third grade team, Mac Jenkins, made the Super Bowl. Listen, we script at the third grade level. So if he's not getting script in the NFL, that's terrible. So it's like, no, if you were to say, hey, I've got a quarterback 24 games in, should he keep making some of these mistakes he's making? I'd tell you absolutely not.
Okay.
Simultaneously, if you were to say, hey, we're eight games in with Ben Johnson, I think we're maybe ahead of where Ben even thought we would be. And that's where it's kind of a nuanced answer. I hate saying that to you because it's not really a great definitive yes or no.
It's a hard question.
I'm excited at where I see him in this offense. However, I'm not thrilled that we're 24 games in and still having some of these errors. And I think a lot of that just has to do with it more or less felt like we saw, oh, wow, Caleb Williams is talented. And that's like really all we could say about his rookie year. There was nothing else that we really could definitively say, because they weren't asking him to do anything that's required to be a championship quarterback.
No, we were just talking about that. Mm-hmm. And I unfortunately said you kind of have to throw away his first year, and unfortunately may have set him back in this development with Ben Johnson because of the Bears' infrastructure at the time and what they were asking him to do, how much those bad habits get built in. I want to go back, though, to what you said, Tim, about how the Bears are repeating concepts and repeating formations. And while I don't think that is uncommon in the NFL, I do think you hit on something when it comes to a smartly coached Ravens defense. I know they've struggled this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if that also means that you're telling the defense what you want to do and they're going to read some routes occasionally.
Yeah, you're 100%. So, and this is where it was funny because, you know, I said that and then everybody like and their mom, you know, I got D3 offensive coordinators like chirping me and it's like, dude, you know what I meant, but it's fine. It's great. You know,
settle I'm not going to
get
three.
They get mad at us for saying it's a setback. Like people just can't handle talking about this.
Yeah. And then me and some OCs have great love for each other. So here's the deal that I'll say though is, you said it, which is it's not uncommon in the NFL, and I agree. It's not uncommon if you were to factor in like quick game and like slightly downfield, or people said Tom Brady said on an interview that he threw for 7,000 yards on Haas jolt. It's like no Sorry. But it's like, no duh, right?
Tom Brady. Let's wait for our dumb button to get back there.
Robbie, write that down.
Everybody on Twitch just started laughing.
Sorry, I just get a little fired up. You guys know me. I'm a big
It's authentic. We're good. You don't mean it.
But I get fired up about Hoss Jolt. But like, there's concepts that, of course, we repeat and we run a ton. The conversation, though, isn't about those. The conversation is about the one we talked about, which is the big stick at eight post with the deep roll in. Like, design shot plays, you generally don't reload those. I'm going to tell you right now, the Broncos scored 44 points this last weekend. They didn't reload a single shot concept, okay? Now, the Bears did, and they hit Rome on a giant in, and then the next time they throw it, it's an interception. You are dead on when you say that. NFL DBs are not dumb. Right. No matter how many times like people want to say athletes are dumb or whatever, they are extremely good at recognizing patterns, extremely good at recognizing formations. If they see a dude running something that they've seen before, and especially if they got beat on it, they are going to be all over it. And they're probably going to undercut it because they're sitting over there on the Microsoft Surface or whatever the heck they have now, swiping through, seeing exactly what's going on. And then if you reload it, you run the risk of those sorts of things happening. So to me, yeah, I totally agree, in which I don't think we should be reloading those sorts of concepts. You want to reload stick, you want to reload Haas, it doesn't matter. But if you reload those shot plays and you generate a chunk play the first time you run it, you always run that risk. I don't think Ben Johnson, though, is naive to that. He understands that. I think where we need maybe a little bit more understanding would be from our quarterback's perspective of, okay, hey, we've ran this before. I need to be a little bit more sure on these windows. And if I don't feel like it's there, I need to get to my back, right? Because Ben is probably calling that from like a, hey, we're backed up. If we can hit Rome, awesome. If not, let's just get it to our back and get us to third and manageable. And that's just where we need to see the growth from Caleb. And I think we will. But again, that's where you say, okay, game 24, are you as excited? No. But when you consider it more like game 8, I'd be like, hey, okay, I understand that decision. So that's where it's kind of nuanced, I think, when you talk about Caleb versus some of these other second-year quarterbacks who have 24 games, because they have 24 games with the same play caller and the same system and the same head coach.
Now, Tim, that's a great point. And if you want more of Tim unfiltered, then you can go to his YouTube channel as well. That's also T. Jenkins Elite on YouTube, right?
All things QB.
All things QB.
I made it as complicated as possible for people to figure it out.
So all things QB, he does release his quarterback breakdowns, his film breakdowns on Twitter as well. Tim, that was great stuff. We have a lot more to get to with you. I'm sure we will do the same next week.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. Tell Ray I'm sorry you had to get to that curse button. So
it happens to the best of us. Football will make you cuss if you care about it enough.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. That's Tim Jenkins. And hey, good news for the ever-growing Jenkins family. I secretly wonder if he's trying to get a 7-on-7 team together.
That's possible. He's well on his way.
The Jenkins kiddos?
They can hoop it up right now, right?
Yeah. And if he's telling you these script plays for his third grader, then what does that say? Mm. That was tremendous.
Is he getting the vasectomy, though, or not?
I mean, the evidence would probably indicate no.
Yeah, he's just going to keep going.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
He's going to get vasectomies and drink Yinglings. That's right.
There are worse things.
There are worse things. I mean, that sounds like a nice afternoon.
Yingling in it. Stop.
Yingling.
I knew it was coming. I'm going to pause there. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And coming up next, we keep the guests going. One of the best college athletics and college football minds in the game right now. It is time to hear from Nicole Auerbach. She's going to tell us who's coaching where. We want to know. There's been so many changes in college football. We'll get her thoughts and her information next. The expert from NBC Sports coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Raheemy Harrison Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Your thoughts following the game, Coach Brent Venable said you felt like he had the better team. Just your overall thoughts on that.
Interesting take. That's a hot take.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we go to our Circa Resort and Casino hotline. CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find Nicole Auerbach. She's at Nicole Auerbach on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. She's the NBC Sports lead, college basketball insider, and college football as well. And she joins us on the show. Nicole, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, happy to do it, guys.
I think the first question we all have, I think, as a society this week is, where's Lane Kiffin going?
Well, I guess he's supposedly going to coach at like four different schools based on what four different fan bases are saying. And then the Ole Miss fans are convinced he's going to stay. I think that is going to be the biggest question with this carousel. It feels like he is the big name that would satisfy a lot of these fan bases. There's obviously going to be way too many open jobs for the amount of like slam dunk hire, like great big name coaches that are going to be available. It is going to be slim pickings. And the part about this that I feel like people aren't really thinking about enough is that if Ole Miss is in the college football playoff, and they certainly look like they're going to be, we just don't know how that's going to play out with Kiffin coaching that team into late December. What happens, if they win and get to a quarterfinal? Should be played around New Year's. The transfer portal opens on January 2nd. If they win, they go to a semifinal, then they miss the entire portal window. I mean, it becomes really difficult with the timing of these jobs. So that's another factor that I think could lean towards, or at least Ole Miss fans would hope, would keep him at Ole Miss. But also just the question of, hey, do you think those jobs are better? Can you win a national championship from Ole Miss and have a great quality of life, be at a place where, your family likes it, you like it? Or do you feel the need to go somewhere with a perceived bigger job? I mean, all of those are questions that Lane Kiffin's going to have to answer. And we don't know, how the calendar piece is going to play into any of this.
Nicole, I just want to get hired as a head coach in a Power Four conference so I can be fired and get the buyout. What do you make of where we are with what I call buyout city, buyout culture, where fan bases, they don't have to wait 2-3 years. They can decide at the beginning of a second year that they want the coach gone.
It does feel like people are angrier and patience is shorter than ever right now. And I've been kind of talking this over with other people in the industry. Like, I can't tell if it's maybe just because of, where society is today, where I think, people are loud and they make their responses to things heard, or if it's that because they've contributed to NIL or fundraising efforts at a school that they feel like more monetarily tied to the hires and decision-making process. It's kind of a mix of both, I think. But you're right. I mean, you know, people, it's the bottom is falling out of some of these programs way quicker than we've ever seen. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the 3 weeks that sunk James Franklin when he went from, you know, a couple plays away from being the number one team in the country to out of a job. And for LSU, it obviously went south really fast on Sunday as well. And, you know, there were a lot of people in Baton Rouge who woke up on Sunday convinced it was not going to happen that day. It would be staffing changes, not Brian Kelly being out of a job. But, you know, one thing we're learning with these schools willing to pay, you know, $50 million buyouts is that you cannot fall behind in football. Like in the 12-team playoff era, everyone believes they should be in the playoff. When you're at an LSU or a Penn State, you believe that you should be playing for national championships. And, you know, it can turn so quickly where, you know, it's crazy to say this about the second and third highest buyouts ever in the sport, but like Penn State had to do it. LSU had to do it and figure out the finances later because you just worry that you'd be costing yourself so much to be stuck with someone who wasn't going to be able to, you know, to advance your program and chase those big goals. But it truly is wild. I feel like once we get to the end of the season and kind of look back on what happened, how quickly it happened, how many mid-season changes there were, it'll kind of all sink in. But it really felt like these schools didn't have much of a choice, which is a wild thing to say about paying someone $50 million not to coach.
Nicole, will or has Pat Fitzgerald's name popped up for any of these jobs? Or do you know what Pat's intentions are, or is he still staying from what happened at Northwestern in the last few years?
I mean, it feels like he is going to get a job in this cycle if he wants to coach again. There's just going to be so many open jobs. I don't know if we're talking about, like, you know, the jobs that we're talking about, the LSU, Florida, Penn State. Like, those are the biggest jobs and the most attractive ones in the cycle. But, I mean, we're already up to 12 open FBS jobs. And if, you know, Lane Kiffin or some of these other coaches move around, that opens up more positions. So it'll be really interesting. I mean, I do know, you know, obviously you've seen different people pushing him as a candidate for places. And I do think that, you know, there's so much respect among coaches in the profession that I think, you know, now that the ouster, the lawsuit, all of that stuff is behind him, that I'm sure there will be a lot of people pushing for him to get jobs. It'll be interesting, though. I mean, because he's, you know, been out for a few years. You know, those last couple of years at Northwestern, the team didn't perform very well on the field outside of the hazing allegations and mm-hmm. off the field issues. And it's a different era of college football where, you know, the way that you're operating in a rev share NIL world is different than the way that you build programs in the past. So I do think that, you know, he'll get a look and he could certainly get one of these jobs. It'll just be interesting to see what that fit looks like and just how he would operate in this landscape.
We're talking to Nicole Auerbach. She is the lead reporter at NBC Sports for college football and college basketball. And Nicole, I think another part of this is when you talk about LSU having to do it and Penn State having to do it, maybe there's no better example than Texas A&M wearing Jimbo Fisher's buyout to the tune of $77 million. And then now they're the number three ranked team in the country.
Right. That is what I think made it so poetic that Brian Kelly's last game was against them, right? Because you're looking at a place that ate a huge, huge buyout because they had the wrong person, but it led them to the right person. And there was also, of course, that twist and turn where, you know, they some people wanted to hire Mark Stoops and that had to get, you know, kind of overruled and then go with Mike Elko. And, you know, it was the right hire. I think, you know, at the time I remember saying, we all said it was just sort of like, okay, they needed like a football guy, a guy who is really detail oriented, could kind of restructure the way that program is run, but also just like a really good football mind. And they would get better and they would stop, you know, kind of making stupid mistakes in games or just like they would avoid some of the pitfalls that some of the previous coaches did by talking too much or promising things or doing different things. Mike Elko is just so low key. He's not like that. And you did see it. You are seeing it play out this year, of course, with that team looking like they might have the best defense in the SEC. They look like they should be, you know, playing for an SEC title in the CFP, all of those things. They've weathered some ups and downs from their offense. Like, it's a good team and a really good coach. And so, yes, I do think you look at that and go, see, that was worth it, right? You're still paying Jimbo Fisher. And again, the way these contracts are structured is still mind-boggling with the amount of guaranteed money for some of these guys that they're going to get that's not mitigated by a new job or not paid out over time. But you're still like, listen, we needed that reset. We needed that change. And look at how well it's worked. And look at our new identity. Look at the way we play. Look at this coach's fit for our program. And that's what everyone's hoping. And that's part of the hope when you make a big financial decision to make a change, but also a mid-season change, like something that's really drastic, trying to signal to your fan base, your donors, and your community that, like, this is not what we want. We are starting over. The only issue with this cycle is there are going to be names for some of these jobs that are going to underwhelm these fan bases. And there, listen, some people would say that Mike Elko was an underwhelming hire for Texas A&M, the Duke head coach, right, a former D.C. But again, it's all about the right fit. No one thought that Kurt Cignetti was the splashiest hire Indiana could make. It's about the right coaches. And so you hope that that's also one of the takeaways outside of just, look, it worked for Texas A&M. Like, who did they hire and why did that work?
Nicole, I'm going to ask you this question because I feel like it's so important to try to understand what's going on. Who thought it'd be a good idea to let college athletes bet on pro sports?
So I asked this to NCAA President Charlie Baker a couple weeks ago. I was doing a Q&A thing with him at a convention, and it was right after it had kind of been signed off on. They were just waiting for Division II and Division III to approve it. And his reasoning, and this was, I think, the reasoning that kind of carried this through different committees, was that there are a lot of things that have changed in society, and rules and state laws have changed. You know, like they loosened their marijuana laws and rules, right, as a lot of the different states did. And they were like, well, that's also not a performance-enhancing drug, so we're, you know, going to stop testing for it or withholding people from this because it's legal in all these states. So I think there's a similar approach with sports gambling being legal in so many places. And their approach is, listen, if it's legal, people are more willing to come to the people that they need to around them if they have problems with it. If it's something that also would have made them ineligible and they're having addiction problems with it, like, they're not going to tell anyone. They're not going to work through it. They're not going to get help. So that's part of it. And just the idea, I think it would be incredibly hard to police, you know, especially when everyone else on these campuses are allowed to do this. They're just trying to, you know, kind of draw that line in the sand about, like, the integrity of college athletic competitions, like, obviously not someone, you know, throwing their own game. And betting on that. But I understand where all the angst is and why people think it's a bad idea, slippery slope, normalization of all of this stuff. But that's the reasoning that they're coming with this from, that it will be easier for people who need help to get help if it is something that is allowed and not going to jeopardize eligibility.
Hey, Nicole, back to Brian Kelly, because his name definitely pops around here because of his years at Notre Dame. What's next for him? Is he still a viable candidate for an elite job, or where is he in the world of college football at this moment?
It's a really good question because, you know, I think there's so many stories popping up around, right, and not seeing a ton of, like, former LSU players, you know, vouching for him and sticking up for him, which you normally see after a coach is fired. You're getting a lot of stories about just how, you know, he didn't connect with people, didn't try to connect with people. How much time was he around the facility? What was he delegating? You know, can he build relationships? All of those stuff, which, you know, it's a bad look, but winning cures everything. And if you win big, that stuff doesn't matter as much if you're a little bit more detached. This is the first time he's ever been fired, which is crazy to think about with the college football coaching careers, the way that they are and the way that, you know, everyone's, you know, paths go. So, you know, it'll be really interesting to see what he wants to do, how he responds. There is a clause in his contract that, you know, says that he needs to look for work. I would think, you know, these are football coaches. He answered this the other night that, like, it's all he knows how to do and he's going to keep coaching. We heard similar things from James Franklin. I do think that both of them would be attractive candidates in this carousel at other places, right? A lot of this is going to be about just kind of resetting the clock and starting over with someone new. But he still fits a lot of the molds of what you're looking for in a lot of places that would be thrilled to get to 10, 11 win seasons. You know, obviously he has his Midwestern ties. You could chalk up a lot of this to, okay, he was a bad fit in the South, in the SEC, and a lot of other places can justify it. You know, you look at his overall win-loss record, success in different places. So, yes, I do expect that he will coach somewhere else.
Nicole, thanks so much for taking the time. This has been very informative.
Thanks, Nicole.
Yep. Anytime, guys.
That's Nicole Auerbach. Of course, you can check out her work on NBC Sports. She's also at Nicole Auerbach on Twitter as well. Coming up next, we have to tackle one of the most polarizing topics in America.
It is polarizing.
And it's timely because Friday is coming at you. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen to Rahimi Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Okay. You know, we like to have fun questions in Five on It when we are allotted the time, when all of our topics have been properly dispersed. Sometimes number five is a fun question. And Robbie, Bob Tree Triano, asked the question that I think is tearing our nation apart. You're either pro or anti. Would you like to ask it?
Yeah, because Halloween's coming up, candy's on the brain. Are you pro or anti Almond Joy?
Really, this comes down to real one main question. Do you like coconut or do you not like coconut? And I am for it. I believe in coconut. I think it's pretty great. It's one of the foundations of a lot of flavors that I enjoy and our world enjoys. And if our world is wrong, then I want to be wrong with it.
I thought you were going to say, if our world is wrong, then I don't want to be right. But you're just saying you want to be wrong with the world. Robbie, have you ever heard the Almond Joy commercial? It's a classic.
I don't think so.
Okay, you work on that, dialing that up and getting ready to play
but
that back.
Here's the really big controversy, though, with the Almond Joy commercial. It just asks you, which version of coconut and chocolate do you want?
No. That's why I want it, because the question I was going to ask Robbie is, Robbie, do you have a problem with mounds? Do you even know what mounds are?
What?
No, it's not something your girlfriend has.
So that's why I want you to look up this commercial. It's a classic commercial, Almond Joy. And the general theme is it's got music. It says, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Almond Joy has nuts.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
That was quick.
Almond Joy's got nuts. Nom, nom.
Almond Joy's got rich milk chocolate, coconut, much enough to.
Yeah, so that's the general question. So basically, mounds are just almond joys without the nuts.
It's coconut and chocolate. Yes. What could go wrong?
Well, coconut's not tasty. So at my last full-time employment...
Coconut is incredible, and I love it.
My coworker, Jory Paris, she's still over at the old CBS Chicago.
Shout out to Jory.
She was the only one in our entire office that liked coconut. So whenever there was like the variety pack of candies, like little mini candies, yeah, there'd be Almond Joys and mounds, and we just pelt her with Almond Joys and mounds.
I knew I liked Jory. Man.
Well, and figuratively, we didn't actually throw... Well, actually, I guess I did throw them at her.
Shot in the dark, Layla. You, me, and Jory's got to hang out. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And just eat coconut.
What a time to be alive.
So you're on board with the coconut.
I am. Well, I have a couple of reasons. Number one, it is my mom's absolute favorite. Like her whole life. Jean has always loved the mounds. So, and she, and when I was growing up, did not like it because of exactly what you said, Layla. It's the coconut, which I believe is an acquired taste. As I became older, more mature, I acquired a taste for coconut, and I now love a Mounds bar.
Whoa.
This isn't Brussels sprouts where, oh, they finally prepared Brussels sprouts in a better way.
It's acquired weird taste. I think it used to taste like suntan lotion to me, you know, because it's the coconut flavor.
I love suntan lotion.
It's delicious. Oh my God, we have to hang out.
Suntan lotion.
309 has a wild take. Love coconut, hate almonds.
Oh, so that's a mounds person, clearly.
Also, 815 says mounds is dark chocolate, Almond Joy is milk chocolate.
Interesting.
I hadn't done the research. Gentlemen, nougat? Robbie, the reason
I bring this up is not only am I pro Almond Joy, but if you were to give me any chocolate bar in front of me, I am picking the Almond Joy. It is my favorite chocolate bar out of all the chocolate bars. I'm not a chocolate bar guy. I'm more of a gummy type of person. Like Swedish Fish to me is
obviously
crazy.
Somebody had to.
Well, I will tell you in terms of...
Swedish Fish? Hold on. You like Swedish Fish?
Swedish Fish is the best gummy candy, in my opinion.
You put your weed in there. That's why.
The best.
Yeah.
Wait, what'd you say?
You put your weed in there.
A very popular Saturday Night Live skit.
Ray, where do you stand on this?
Thank you, Layla.
I am like a... In small doses, I'm okay with coconut. So I'm like okay on Almond Joy. Like, I'm not ever fiending for an Almond Joy, but I'll split one with you. But like, I don't know. I think I might have to try. I don't think I've ever tried mounds, so maybe I do prefer dark chocolate. So like, maybe I'll like that.
Listen here, I've eaten like coconut cream pie.
Uh huh.
I will eat a coconut macaroon. Ooh. Not a macaron, the French cookie, but an actual macaroon. I don't know how people live without. Without that in their lives.
The same way they live without candy corn, easily.
Not only do I like candy corn, I like the mellow cream pumpkins.
You're gross.
Why does candy...
like Swedish Fish.
Candy corn is just disgusting.
I don't get why everybody hates candy corn. I have never understood why candy corn is like a hot topic. I knew this was going to come up.
It was a Lewis Black.
Is that who started it?
Routine. Yeah, okay. He said like the world supply of candy corn is the same. It just gets recollected and then put into the remainder for next year.
Yeah. Here's why, Mark.
Yeah.
If you're going to have something awful for you, which sugar is awful for you,
yeah,
you might as well have it in delicious form.
I'm having it right now.
Candy corn is not a delicious form of sugar. There's so many more better forms of sugar, processed sugar, than candy corn.
If candy corn is so good, then why don't people eat it all year long?
Oh, great question, Robbie.
Well, because it's...
They torture themselves for a week.
It's a delicacy.
That's why.
It's disgusting.
It's something that... It's seasonal. It's like turkey. It's like we really acquire a taste for stuffing once a year. You gotta have it.
No, stuffing's delicious. Turkey, eh.
But do you have stuffing ever other than Thanksgiving? Probably
sure,
not.
I have it. I have not stuffing. I have dress. I don't do stuffing. I do
corn dressing.
Cornbread dressing.
Okay.
Both holidays.
I make it
Thanksgiving.
From
I get your point though. Like I never have stuffing any time of the year. But candy corn is disgusting, and no one should have it any time.
I have turkey often.
I don't get it.
No, I like turkey too.
You buy it. You bought a whole turkey other than Thanksgiving.
I don't typically buy a whole turkey. Like you would buy a turkey breast and then cut it up.
Oh,
sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm talking about like really doing it up.
414.
Well, I'm just one person is the thing. I'm just cooking for me.
You're just a baby. You're just one person.
On the text line, 414 says, tastes like chewing plastic to me.
I mean, it was a weird texture. I don't know.
Tastes like chewing
plastic. Hey, guess what? I feel unique now. I am one of the few, apparently, in this world who likes candy corn, and I'm going to embrace that.
I don't think it's
different.
Just us. They make all those bags. It's not for just you and me.
Okay. I was trying to make us unique, Layla, but you went and ruined it.
217 says we're putting the downstate candy corn farmers out of work. No, yeah. We are not.
My
I'm
friends
buy
downstate.
Your candy corn.
Yes. Ray, what is your favorite candy bar or candy?
Oh man,
we got Robbie.
Reese's, baby.
Reese's all the way.
I love peanut butter and chocolate together. That's the top combination, in my opinion.
It's a fair assessment.
Dove milk chocolate is like an elite for me.
Ooh. Oh, that's different.
That's just the straight milk chocolate.
That's a different answer. I like it.
Reese's is high up there. I don't discriminate. Like
no, I understand. I understand. I don't either, but we all have one that sort of stands ahead. You know, sometimes I like to get to know you guys.
Mailman Sparky says candy corn is the Malort of candy.
You know what? That is a fair assessment. That is a very fair, because you know people love Malort.
I'm not one of them, but people love Malort.
I actually like Malort. I'm not into candy corn at all.
I'm with Ray. I love Malort.
Remember when we did our bartending event, how they had the infused Malort?
Nisei has infused Malort.
They had Ecto Cooler High C infused Malort.
Ooh, that
all right,
sounds
tough
awesome.
Guy. What's your favorite candy?
Why gotta be a tough guy? Okay, I'm gonna go Twix.
Oh, God, man. You
solid
and I.
choice.
Oh, we're in the same boat.
Wait,
me and you?
Left Twix or right Twix? This is very important.
Twix and Kit Kat, very close, but Twix.
Oh, so me and you are on the same page, except for you have all those other horrible tastes in candy.
You and I are friends whether we want to be or not.
I want to be friends, though.
Yeah, well, it's still an interview
Which
process.
Twix?
Left.
It's the better Twix.
Yeah. Twix is they're really good.
All right, so we've solved that world problem.
Yeah, like a honey bun, too.
Yeah, candy corn is like the Halloween version of Peeps.
I'm just a big believer that food is good.
What's your
That's
favorite?
That's how I feel.
I know Lawrence has got a
Well, let's ask him on the other side.
Oh, yeah, they're about to come in. Yeah, sorry, shiny objects in the hallway. Sorry.
Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel are next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.